Are you glad you're here today? I'm really glad to see you guys. Are you glad that the storm hurricanes are gone? We're praying for our friends and family members in Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic, man, just keeping them in prayer. Man, when you see what's taking place, it's just astounding. And, you know, last week, I preached a message on plugging into God's power. And the interesting thing about all of that was, as we plug into God's power, we know that there's a great resource for us. A lot of people asked me, they said, "We thought you were going to preach on getting through the storm." And honestly, it was just a little bit too fresh last Sunday for me. You know, it was a little bit too close. So today I am going to talk about getting through the storm. You know, last Sunday I talked about having power, and I'd made a joke about not having power in my house and the electricity being shut off. And one lady who's very sweet and but in her well-meaningness said, as I said, like I was hoping that the power would come back on. She kind of went into a little speech on my Facebook page and told me that, you know, well, God's trying to teach you a lesson on being more prepared. So the next time that a storm comes, you can be prepared. And I'm like, thank you. Your timing is not good, you know? Like telling somebody who's sitting in a 95-degree house and sweating in the, you know, seriously, I'm like, there's only so much clothes you can take off, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, it's just hot, and so I'm like, telling somebody that, you know, they should have thought in advance is like telling somebody in a famine, like in Ethiopia, saying, you ought to move closer to a grocery store. I'm like, honestly, your timing is not good. And so as I've been praying through this week, I did think about the best time for us to talk about a storm is before a storm. And maybe for us to get ready. But here's the interesting thing about that is if you're not in a storm right now, there's a storm coming. We all walk through storms in our life. And if you're not in one, and maybe you don't see one on the horizon, maybe you just walked through a storm. You just came out of one. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, they happen in our lives. Storms happen in our lives, and you can't always figure out how quickly they arise. Years ago, when I was still living in Pennsylvania, it was winter and it was cold, and we were used to getting snow on a pretty regular basis. I heard that there was going to be snow, and so I needed to go to some store and get some groceries and stock up for a day or two. It wasn't supposed to be too bad, but you know, you still don't want to get out on the roads when there's ice or snow out on the roads. And so I was living out in the country at that point, so I drove to the grocery store. And there was some windy roads to get there. And it was still a pretty clear day. I wasn't really thinking that there was going to be too much snow that would take place. Maybe it's going to take place, you know, in town in Pittsburgh or something, but not where I was. And as I went in the grocery store, it was pretty bright, and I'm like feeling pretty good. So I'm taking my time. And somebody came through the store and made the comment, like, there's a blizzard coming. I'm like, well, sometime, I'm sure there is. And I'm like, no, outside, it's getting dark. And I looked out the window of the store, and sure enough, it was dark. It was really dark, and I was like, wow. So I got my groceries and got in my car, and I'm trying to get, and I was up on the main highway, and I had to turn off the main highway, and there was a ridge road that you had to do and then turn down over the hill. So I'm up on this ridge road. It's a high point in the area, and honestly, it had already started snowing a little bit at the store. By the time I got to the ridge road, like a mile or two, we had what they call a whiteout. Has anybody ever been in a whiteout? A whiteout is like a hurricane with snow. You literally can't see anything. And so here I am up on this ridge road in my car, and I don't know what to do because my windshield wipers are not, it can't get all the snow off that fast. As soon as it would wipe, there was snow on it. And so I didn't know what to do because I couldn't see, and I'm afraid that I'm going to hit a car. Maybe if somebody stopped in front of me or and even worse, like what if there, if I stop, if there's a car behind me, and so I couldn't see, so I stop, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm a little bit concerned about it. So I got the brainiac idea of, I was driving an Audi at that point, and I got the brainiac idea to open the sunroof. And somehow I didn't think that the snow, how aggressively it was falling on the car, that it would fall on me. And honestly, I stood up and it was like I was a snow magnet. I mean, in a second, I was completely covered with snow. My face was covered. My glasses were covered. And I'm like, I looked like the abominable snowman standing up in the sunroof of my car. So after a couple of minutes, it stopped. And thankfully, there was no cars around me. And now I was literally stuck in a mound of snow. It was crazy. But just literally 15 minutes before that, I'm in the grocery store, and the sun appeared to be shining, or, you know, it was at least bright outside, and out of nowhere, a storm came. In the same way, in our lives, it seems like storms just come out of nowhere at times. Today, I want to turn to the story in the Bible that I think is an amazing story, and I'm going to read a long passage of Scripture today. It's in Acts, the 27th chapter. And normally, we would put the whole passage in the bulletin. It was really too long for us to put the whole passage in the bulletin today. There's an insert where you can take some notes. But if you'll just take a moment and just, you can follow along. And this story is about the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome, and he is in shackles. He's been arrested. And he was arrested, really, he got in into a heated place where he got arrested for preaching the gospel. And he, as a Roman citizen, even though he was Jewish by birth, he was also a Roman citizen. He made an appeal that he wanted an audience with Caesar. And so because he asked for this audience with Caesar, they were required, it would be like going to the appeals court. And so so he asks for this appeal, and so now they're transporting him so that he can go to Rome and have this audience with Caesar. And so this is what takes place as he's in this storm, as he's in this boat. Okay, Acts 27, verse 13, a storm takes place. And a gentle south wind began to blow. They thought they had obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island named Cotta, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. And when the men had hoisted it abroad, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Now, this is a pretty fierce storm, so that they're actually putting ropes to hold the ship together. Fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw cargo overboard. On the third day, now, when Hurricane Irma went through, Hurricane Irma lasted what? Maybe 8 hours in Central Florida? 8 hours in Central Florida, the worst of it maybe about 5 or 6 hours. This is 3 days of a hurricane level storm. 3 days. On the third day, in verse number 19, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor star appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Have you ever been in a storm in your life that seemed to be unending? That you didn't see daylight for not 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, but for a long time, it didn't seem like there was daylight. They gave up all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice and not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss." May I speak to you, Paul, for a few moments and remind you of the woman who lectured me on Facebook about buying a power? When we're in the middle of the storm, this is not a great time, Apostle Paul. I know you're the apostle, but please do not do a "I told you so" in the middle of the storm. But that's kind of what takes place there. He's like, "You should have listened to me. But now I urge you." See, here, this is amazing, though. He says, "We're in it. We're days into this storm now. I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." There's going to be some loss, but it won't be your life. You might lose some personal things, but it's not going to be your life. So keep courage. Last night, and here's why I know this. Last night, an angel of God, of whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me. Man, this is not just casual. This is like an angel of the Lord. And he remembers who he is. Like, I'm God's. He has angels. And I serve him. And he said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep your courage up, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as it was told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island." On the 14th night. Wow. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors. Somebody say four anchors. They dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending that they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. There were some people trying to get off the ship. They were not concerned about anybody else. They were going to get off the ship. And then Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, "Unless they stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes and held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, "You have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from your head." And after this, he took some bread and gave thanks in front of them all, and he broke it and began to eat. And they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. In this text, we find maybe one of the greatest apostles of all time, who he is serving God and doing God's will, gets in basically a storm with people, and then he makes an appeal for him to go to Caesar, and now he's in a storm on a ship, and this storm is lasting a long time. So now this is compounded problems. This is not just one thing, but it's compounded things, and Paul is asking for him to be able to go to Rome and stand before Caesar. And the amazing thing about this is, even though this was difficult, even though he was in hardship, it was right where God wanted him to be. We find the greatest apostle, maybe in the New Testament, achieves some of his greatest success after he goes through the storm. After he gets to Rome, he's going to write much of the New Testament. He's going to actually talk to Caesar. He's going to talk to household members of Caesar. He's going to be able to be a witness to the world from Rome. Rome, he would receive divine instructions that many of us are listening to today. And so in the middle of his storm, he was like, "Listen, I have an appointment, so I'm not going to get discouraged. I have an appointment. God wants to do something with me in Rome, and so I'm not going to fear that my life is gone. I'm not going to fear because there's still something yet ahead of me. And so today, let me just tell you, you might be in the middle of a storm, and it might be a storm, it might be a person, it might be somebody at your job, it might be your job itself. It might be some conflict that you're going through, it might be your health. There might be a storm that you're going through internally, but let me just tell you, God has a plan for your life, and the reason why you're still alive is because God still has something yet ahead for you. And Satan can't take you down and he can't take you out as long as God has a plan for your future. Somebody say amen today. You don't have to look for a storm. Storms will find you. Can somebody say amen? You don't have to look for a storm. Sometimes they'll move into your house. You don't have to look for a storm. Sometimes you'll say I do to one. Somebody say amen, you know? The interesting thing about this is there are some principles, I think, some observations that we can take away from this. Here's the first thing I'd like for you to observe, that you need to learn the difference between a great storm and soft winds. Learn the difference between a great storm and soft winds. This passage starts out in verse number 13. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and sailed for the shore of Crete. No. There are some people that they don't know the difference. Like, they don't know the difference between being in just like an everyday issue and having to manage the cares of every day and the stress. There's stress that comes with every day. Can somebody say amen? Like the Bible says that there's stress that comes with work. It doesn't matter to me. I think the Bible, because the Bible tells us like we'll work. Part of the curse of sin is that we have to work by the sweat of our brow. And it doesn't matter, honestly, if you're the CFO of a Fortune 500 company or if you're the guy that takes out the garbage at McDonald's. It doesn't matter what you're left. There's a stress that comes with work because it's a part of the weight of sin. And so there's an everyday stress that we have. There's an everyday thing that we walk through. And then there are everyday things that we have in our life that happen to us on a regular basis. Like you get up in the morning. It's something that happened to me, and I won't go into a lot of detail about it. But 2 weeks ago, I was getting ready for the storm. I have a battery-powered saw. And I went out and was sawing some branches off of my tree. And the battery wasn't strong enough, and the saw got stuck in the tree. And so I couldn't get it out, so I decided that I was going to go to Ace Hardware and buy an electric saw because the battery goes down too much, and so I bought an electric saw, get to the house, and realized I needed chain oil, and the chain oil, I had to go, it's 8 o'clock at night, I go to the store to Lowe's and get some chain oil and come back, and I'm getting ready, and I figure I'll do it first thing in the morning, and I'm taking stuff in and out of the house and realize at 9:15 that I've locked myself out of my house. And at me, like you, I don't know anybody's telephone numbers because they're in my cell phone. And so it's 9:15 at night, and finally I had to call Diane Lefevre. It's the only telephone number in the world I have memorized because she's had it for 32 years. And so I called Diane. I'm like, call Mary Beth, call somebody, get me in the house. And so honestly, like it's just that's not a storm. Do you understand that? The storm was still ahead. I just locked myself out of the house. I didn't tell this in the first story, so you're the lucky one. So you get to hear the whole story. So yesterday, after the hurricane comes and goes, I the saw's still stuck in the tree. Okay, so I bring the other saw, the second saw, back to Ace, the electric saw, and exchange it and tell them the button's broken, and they give me a new saw, and I go back to my house, and I get I saw the saw out of the tree. Who would have ever thought you'd say those words? I saw the saw out of the tree, and then I take it all down, clean it up, and go in the house, and I've locked myself out of the house a second time in 10 days. Yeah. But can I just tell you guys, that's not a storm. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many times, like, we get to the place, like, that's so aggravating, this awful thing, like, all the stuff I'm going through in my life. That's not a storm. On September the 11th, we saw what a storm looks like. You have to be able to learn to assess the difference between just the stress of everyday life and living everyday life and what a storm. Because otherwise, you know what you do? You start to turn everything into big drama. And you know, there are some people who are addicted to drama. Anything that's little, they'll just dramatize it and turn it into hurricane. Here's what I've realized in my life. There are some people that cannot sit beside the emergency button. Because they don't know what an emergency really looks like. Please, I'm going to quit serving God. I don't want anything. Like, what's going on? I locked myself out of the house. I mean, seriously. You need a better assessment of what's real problems. I'll preach just a little bit longer. You guys get what first service didn't get. You know the damage that we took, and I know that there are people here, you took damage and trees went down and even somebody, a tree went through their porch. But compared to what took place down in Puerto Rico this week, can somebody say, like we need to have a better assessment of what trouble really looks like and how blessed we are? Can somebody say amen to that? Like, so get a better assessment and know the difference between a storm and soft winds. Here's the second thing I'd like for you to know. Storms come while you are in the middle of God's will. There are some storms that are self-invited troubles. There are sometimes when you make decisions and it's just a bad decision. There are some storms that are just there because we live in a sinful and a broken world. And you didn't do anything, it just happened. So some of those storms take place. And then there are some storms that happen. And they're meant to take you down because there's a call on your life. They're meant to take you down because God still has something yet ahead for you. I'm just going to go ahead and preach for just a second here. There are some people that say that because you're in a storm, because you have trouble, that you must have some sin in your life. Can I just say, hooey? Is that spiritual? That's a bunch of hooey. If that's the case, like Jesus had trouble in his life. No sin. Job had trouble in his life, and the Bible says there wasn't a more perfect man. He ended up in a storm because actually God allowed him to go in the storm. How about Jesus going into the wilderness to be led by the Spirit to be tempted? Sometimes you're right in the middle of hardship. Sometimes you're right in the middle of a difficult place because there's something that God's going to produce, and maybe there's someone in the storm you're supposed to minister to. Maybe there's someone in that very same spot. And then ultimately, when you get to the other side of what God's going to do in your life, you have a testimony that not even a storm can stop you. Amen. Many of your problems won't come until you're in the will of God. Many of your problems won't come until you, like, because I can tell you the day you start to pray, Satan's coming after you. The day you make your mind up you're going to serve God, Satan's coming after you. The day you make your mind up that you're going to serve God no matter what takes place, there's going to be a storm coming. But let me just tell you, God's going to get you through the storm and he's going to get you to the other side. Can somebody just praise him in this place for that? Come on. And here's the last thing I do want you to observe. Storms come out of nowhere. You get a phone call that there's been an accident. You get a phone call and your boss informs you that they don't need you anymore and you're in a storm. You get a phone call from the doctor's office and the tests that came back are not good and all of a sudden you're in a storm. You learn that your spouse is unfaithful and all of a sudden you're in a storm. You wake up at 3:00 in the morning and your child is not home. And they don't come home until daylight and they don't come home in good condition. And all of a sudden you realize that you're in a storm. It doesn't take long for a storm to break out. Storms are part of life and you have to figure out what you're going to do in the storm. So I'm going to give you a few things not to do in the storm. Are you ready? Here's the first thing not to do in the storm. Verse number 15 says this: when the ship was caught and was unable to head against the wind, we gave up and letting her drift, we were borne along. Here's the first thing: don't drift. Don't allow the circumstances just to carry you. Many times in our lives, what we do is we just allow things to happen, and we unanchor, and we just allow the things that happen to us, they just become the moving force in our life. We start to lose our bearings. We start to set adrift. We stop going to church. We stop praying. We start to set our heart and our thoughts adrift. Our attitude becomes like, why even try? If I'm going to pray and nothing's going to happen, if I'm going to serve God and I'm still going to end up in a storm, why do any of that? And you know what's taking place? You're allowing the current of the storm to determine your destination. You can't afford to do that, because God has a destination where he's trying to take you to. Here's the second thing: don't discard. Verse number 18, as we were being dangerously tossed about by the violence of the storm, the next day they began to throw the freight over. The freight is the valuable stuff. Don't throw the freight over. It's always amazing to me that when people get in a storm, they throw away the good and keep the bad. Honestly, like, they throw away their faith, they throw away their friendships, they stop praying, they stop reading their Bible, they discard all of that stuff, and they stop going to church and they start to party. Like, and let me just ask you a question. Like, what did you think? Seriously, what did you think that alcohol would get you that God couldn't? I mean, don't discard the good stuff. If you're going to quit something in the storm, quit the bad stuff and keep the good. Can somebody say amen? Keep the good stuff. And here's one of the reasons why, is because, like, when you're in the storm, you don't hardly even know sometimes what counts and what doesn't count. You don't even know what's good and what's bad. Our thoughts get warped, and we find ourselves doing dumb things. Trouble has a way of kind of causing us to become sensitive and edgy and say things that we normally wouldn't say. So don't disregard people and relationships and what you know to be of value. Here's the third thing: don't despair. Verse number 20, and when neither sun nor stars were visible for many days, no small tempest kept raging about us, all of our hope of being saved was finally abandoned. Don't despair. Don't despair. Don't give up hope. Know that if God promised he's taking you somewhere, he's taking you there. Now, I was talking a few moments ago about being right in the will of God. Let me just tell you, I'm going to be really honest with you. And if you're new here at Christ Church, maybe you don't know some of this, but, you know, like, Christ Church, we started this church a few years ago, and God's blessed us. Like, every time we've taken a step of faith, everything we've ever done, like, blessing, 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 blessing. But, you know, eventually the blessings get tested. Can somebody say amen? And so blessing, blessing, blessing. We prayed and we raised a lot of money in advance to build this building, because we were packing out that old building three services, and we were really exhausting a very small staff. And so we decided that we vetted a great builder and did all of the stuff that we were supposed to do. And right in the middle of God's will, let me just tell you what took place. We took a step of faith. And when we took that step of faith, walked right into a storm. Let me just tell you, not strife in the church, not trouble in the church, like, there's not been any problems here, but this was a difficult church building. This was a difficult build. We had to deal with some very difficult things, and honestly, there were some days when I'm like, are we gonna make it? We haven't talked a lot about it, but, like, we literally had to take the job off of the builder and do it ourselves. And so for almost 2 years, we managed this building program ourselves instead of the general contractor managing it. And let me just tell you, for church people, that's not our calling. every day to have to do it. It was a storm to walk through. But you know what? You know, there's a reason why we did it. We built this building not for us to have a pretty building with nice lights. We built it so we could reach more people with God. And I don't care what the storm looks like. As long as you know you're called to do something, you'll keep doing it as long as on the other side of it, you know God has a plan. As long as you know God has victory. As you know on the other side of it, God has a destination for you to get. So let me just tell you, don't despair. Don't give up, because on the other side of your storm is a destination where God has taken you. Somebody ought to praise him right there. Amen. Here's the last one. Don't jump overboard. Verse number 31, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, keep these, abide in the ship, or you can't be saved. The sailors were jumping into lifeboats. And Paul, I mean, think about this. It was like, if you can't make it in a sturdy ship, how do you think you're going to make it in a lifeboat? If you can't make it in a safe place, do you think you're going to be safer in the water? And that's always amazing to me, that people like I'm in a storm, and so I'm just going to jump. I'm just going to jump overboard. I'm going to give it all up. I'm going to give up my family and my hope. And I'm going to allow my direction to be determined by a storm. Let me just tell you, there's more danger in the water than there is in the boat. So just simply stay in the boat. Look at the person sitting next to you and say, stay in the boat. Paul was on a journey. He was going on a place. It was a long and winding place. But let me just tell you, God was going to get him there, and God is going to get you there. I'm going to give you four things, and I'm going to close here in just a few moments. Here's what it says, and I love this passage. Acts 27, verse 29 says, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors. Somebody say four anchors. Four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Not one anchor. Not two, not three, four anchors. It was going to take four anchors for them to be secure. I'm going to give you four anchors. Here, you ready? Are you ready? First anchor, the anchor of God's presence. Your first anchor is God's presence, that he's going to be with you. He's going to show up in your circumstance. Look for him. Here's the second one, the anchor of God's word. Verse number 23 says this, but take courage, none of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. Take courage. Put your faith in God's word. Several years ago, I went through a storm. Somebody made a statement about me, and it was just hurtful. They were a friend of mine, and they said something, and it just sent me in a tailspin. It was somebody who I loved and had worked with, and they said it, and honestly, it just hurt me so deep down inside, and I was like, I felt so betrayed. And I'm like, why would they say that? And so I decided that I was going to cover myself and cover my mind and cover my life with the word of God. So I went into scripture and I found scriptures and I typed them up and I put them on 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper. And I taped them all over my house and all over my car, that everywhere I went, there was the word of God. In my bathroom, on the mirror, no weapon formed against you will prosper. As I was walking out the door, it was, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that's working in him. Let me just tell you, put scripture in your life, put scripture around you. And as you do that, you'll find that it's an anchor for God, from God's word. Here we go. Here's the third anchor. Are you ready? The anchor of faith. Here's what it says. Acts 27, verse 25. So keep up your courage, for I have faith in God that it will happen. I have faith in God that it will happen. I have faith in God. The anchor of faith. Whatever you do, don't lose faith. Don't give up your faith. You can give up a lot of stuff, but keep your faith in God. I'm gonna tell you, the Lord gave us a word 15 years ago that 10,000 souls would be saved from Christ Church of Orlando. He's kept every promise he's ever made to us. And you know what? I'm going to keep my faith in God, that not only has he brought us through a storm, but there's still a couple thousand souls sitting in front of us that God's going to save. Can somebody say amen? Keep your faith in the storm. And Here's the last one, the anchor of worship. Paul says in Acts 27, verse 22 says, "Even now I beg you to be in good spirits and take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship." It's just a ship. "For this very night there stood beside me an angel of the Lord, whom I belong and whom I serve and worship." I don't just say, like, I serve God and I'm going to believe him, but I'm going to worship him. Like, I'm going to say, he's greater than me. He deserves my praise. Even in the storm, he's the God I serve. He's the God I worship. So if you're in a storm, let me just tell you, begin to worship him. If you're in a storm, begin to worship him. Put down the anchor of worship that you're going to praise God in the middle of it, and God's going to get you through to the other side. Job, he said, "Though skin worms eat my body, in my flesh I will see God. I still believe that my Redeemer lives. I've lost my wife." This is in the book of Job. Job lost my wife and lost his family, lost his children, and kept his wife. The one that was negative, that's what he got stuck with. But he said, "I've lost all of that stuff, but nothing can stop my praise. My Redeemer still lives. I'm going to worship him." In the middle of your storm, praise him. In the middle of a storm, just understand that God's going to take you to the other side. If you'll just praise him, just know that there's strength for you and that he has a plan and a purpose after the storm. Let me pray with you today. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for your presence in this room today. I thank you for bringing us here to this place. And dear Lord, that there are people, I know that they're in the storm now. And I'm asking you, dear Lord, that they'll put down anchors, the anchors of your word, the anchor of faith, the anchor that, of worship, that they're not going to be moved by the storm, that they're going to place their trust in you. And dear Lord, I'm asking you that they'll determine their response to trouble, that they'll determine their response to the storm. And dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we're going to trust you to bring them through on the other side. And for those who have just come through a storm and they feel battered, and those that are coming through this storm and dear Lord, they feel like they've been isolated and rejected, will you show up today? We're here to meet with you. We need you. We need your presence. We need your power. We need your promises for our lives, dear God. And dear Lord, for those of us here today that maybe we're not in a storm, but there's one coming, will you equip us and ready us for what you have yet ahead for us? And Lord, we're going to praise you that you have a plan and a purpose. And we receive that today in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand together today. I want us to take just a moment and I want us to pray together. And if you're a guest of ours and you're uncomfortable with praying with somebody else, you can be seated and no one's going to think worse of you for that. So if you're a guest, like, we're going to pray together in a group here in these next few moments. We're going to find two or three or four people, not a big circle, but two or three or four people. And you don't know what the person that's standing near you had to walk through to get here today. You don't know the storm that they're in on the inside, or you don't know how God's preparing them to walk into a storm. But you do know that God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny on the other side of it. So I'm going to ask you to pray for one another, that God will see us through the storm, that God will heal us in it, that we'll find our faith and our trust in him, and that he'll bring us through it to the destination he has for us. Will you find a group of three or four people? Come on, and let's just pray together. If you don't know them by name, come on, introduce yourself to some people by name.